but it's down to Cologne Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the matchup.
Moving pictures on the backfield is coming on. Moving pictures on the far outside, reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown Open Mare Pace. It is Moving Pictures with a 9-1 stutter and 131.
Tying up on the end of it, trying to reach Mystical Sunshine. And it's Peaceful Way with her brilliant winning way to capture the
Armbrook. The great gladiator, the gladiator, la perte en soi, une 74e victoire en carrière.
Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada. Hey everybody, Norm Borg from the home office at Rideau-Carlton Raceway in Ottawa, the nation's capital. But when it comes to capital, everybody in our racing industry knows that a lot of it has come from the slots game. Now, here in Ontario, nobody would argue that the Slots at Racetracks program has, at least for the time being, saved our industry. I'm sure my first guest on Trot Radio wouldn't argue that at all. He is the general manager of Fraser Downs and the vice president of racing for Great Canadian Gaming, and he is Chuck Keeling, and he joins me on the other end of my line.
Hi, Norm.
Good to have you with us, Chuck. We touched on the topic of slots at the intro to this program, and the reason we're having you on here is to get your comments on the fact, and you be able to elaborate on this, I'm sure, that in British Columbia, of course, you have slots at Fraser Downs. You're a full-blown racino. However, the government, BC Lottery, appears to be adding more slots to other places other than Fraser. Is that correct?
That's correct, Norm. And it's really a continual evolution of the gaming policy and operational mandate of the BC Lottery Corporation in the province, whereby, unlike Ontario, or somewhat dissimilar from Ontario, there is significant competition in the local marketplace already. In the Greater Vancouver Regional District, which would be similar to the GTA in that sense, there are seven casinos. And when I say seven, that includes the two racinos that Great Canadian operates, Fraser Downs, where I'm located, Hastings Racecourse, the Thoroughbred Track in downtown Vancouver. And we also have two of our flagship properties located about half an hour equally from Fraser, Boulevard Casino and River Rock Casino, which some people probably are more familiar with. It's right by the Vancouver Airport, and it's one of the biggest casinos in Canada. Incredible table play, actually, that rivals even Vegas casinos. That's one of our properties. So having competition in our backyard is not a new thing. Unlike Ontario, we were not first out of the gate that way. Slots went into Fraser in 2004, and they only went into Hastings about a year and a half ago. So, again, competition is formidable in the marketplace and nothing new for us. What the Lottery Corporation is now doing is they're opening what they're calling community gaming centers. And what they are doing is allowing for 50 to 150 slot machines based on marketplace circumstances and business demand into existing bingo halls. So not dissimilar to what has happened in other jurisdictions and in BC specifically, whereby the racing industry made an effective and compelling case that to equal that playing field, you've got to allow slot machines, the most impactful form of gaming, arguably, to be allowed at racetracks. The bingo industry, similarly, has made just as equally an effective and compelling argument. So what's happening is there are a lot of bingo halls in British Columbia. They, too, are getting the opportunity to get into the slot machine game, and that's what's happening currently in the marketplace here.
Now, you mentioned at the outset that gaming is a very competitive business in British Columbia. How is the addition of all these new slots at community gaming? I like the name. They don't want to call it casinos, so it's community gaming halls. That's a nice euphemism.
We're very good with euphemisms in the in this industry, for sure.
How is that going to impact, though, the business that Great Canadian is doing, and particularly at a Fraser and so on?
There's no question it's a concern. But again, I think it's worth keeping that concern in perspective in that, we're, as I mentioned, we're already in a very fierce competitive marketplace right now with full-blown legitimate casinos that offer all of the full entertainment amenities and food and beverage options that you would expect from quote-unquote casinos. These community gaming centers, granted, they're getting renovated, they're first-class operations, but they don't offer the same variety of entertainment, of options, and the overall experience that you would see at a casino or even a racino. Here at Fraser Downs, as an example, we've got tables, which we're as close to a casino as would exist, I think, in Canada, outside of probably Charlottetown, which I know has poker. So, from our perspective here at Fraser, we've got a couple of these community gaming centers that are open and will continue to open the next year and a half, that are all within about a 40-minute drive from here. It'll have an impact, but it's not going to be a material impact. It's not going to be a significant one. The casino competition we're facing right now is strong enough, that's for sure.
Now, we know that bingo does pretty good. I'm speaking from an Ontario perspective. Bingo does quite well. I was speaking to a friend who was commenting on the business done at one of the First Nations reserves, a small one, too. $1.2 million a year in bingo. So, this has got to be competition for you at the bottom line.
No question. I think that the evolution of bingo and the challenges that bingo faces are very similar to racing. It's an established product, but it's also a mature product, and one that probably has a lot of stigma and misconceptions attached to it, in that it's an older person's game. It doesn't have the same lure or panache or excitement that comes with the casino environment or even racing from that perspective. I think, again, the bingo industry in BC has made a very effective argument that way. And I would say to my counterparts across the country and in racing, it's something to simply be aware of. In Ontario, again, as you say, there are a lot of bingo operations. Who's to say that this doesn't happen through the OLG in Ontario? Pure speculation on my part, of course, but I would say to, again, my counterparts in the racing industry, it is worth following in BC because it is something that could be replicated in other jurisdictions.
And there's always a possibility, as does exist at some of the racinos in the United States, where they could take on a bingo wing of the operation.
Definitely. Definitely. It would be one more gaming product that you could be offering at a racino location. And I think, again, pure speculation on my part, but we're seeing it now in the U.S. We've seen it, as I mentioned, at Fraser. Obviously, tables would be the natural extension point for racinos in North America. Bingo, other gaming products, non-gaming products. I think that we're going to continue to see the evolution of the racino in this business.
Any plans by Great Canadian Gaming to include bingo at their racinos?
I wouldn't say definitively. If you're asking me to generally speculate, I'm happy to do so. I can't specifically speculate as to Great Canadian's aspirations.
Okay. Would you like to see a bingo hall as part of the operation? I know there's a lot of there's at least one track in Ontario that would definitely love to see that.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the industry. I would say, generally speaking, if it added to the facility, if it added revenue, if it added bodies, why wouldn't we look at it? It's not something specifically contemplated at this time.
Well, if you do, be ready for a big fight from the existing bingo hall owners, I can tell you.
Unless there's some type of partnership opportunity.
Let's talk about Fraser in general. Your positioning in the market, your upcoming heart of your racing season is upon us now. Let's talk about that.
We looked at this as more of a winding down period for us. We've been racing hard and operating hard since September. We'll wrap up at the end of June, take a brief hiatus, and start again in mid-September. Sandown is part of our operation. We don't know at this point whether we'll be racing there this summer. There are only 3 days conducted there, so it's not a racing opportunity perspective, it's not a huge issue at this point, but the decision has yet to be made on Sandown's future for this summer. It's been an enjoyable season. I've only been back in the GM chair here since November, so I came back to this operation midstream. Having the National Drivers Championship here was a big thrill for everybody. We're very happy with that. We've also been going through some challenges.
Such as?
Well, getting back to the very topic that you introduced here on the call, Norm, you know, the competition has been formidable. Our slot revenue has been down, which has had a direct impact on the purse pool. We've had a couple purse cuts that were not foreseen. I think it's fair to say that we were all a little too aggressive with our purse payments earlier this year. And it's been, I know it's been frustrating for everybody that race is here for two reasons. One, that the purses are down. And two, we've had a huge influx of stables from Alberta, which is great from a racing perspective, but we don't like being benefactors of somebody else's misfortune, and that being the situation in Alberta. So it's frustrating from our perspective in that the racing product we're putting out right now is as good as it's ever been. But I know that it's a struggle and a challenge to you know, live day to day as a horse person here because of the competition being so significant and the purses not being where we all want them to be.
People who own stock in Great Canadian Gaming have seen a decline, as would anybody who owns stock in anything in this day and age. But I think at last count it was once trading at 17, is it, was it not? It's down to what right now in general terms?
I think it's down about 350 at this point. You know, it rode a downdraft with everybody else. And from my perspective, and for my counterparts in the Great Canadian Racing Division, whether that's the guys in Ontario, my counterparts at Hastings, we're concentrating on day-to-day business.
You know, how's the thoroughbred? I'm sorry, I was going to ask how the thoroughbred side is doing.
Similar situation. They had a huge casino open 10 minutes from them in November. Their gaming floor of 600 machines is just getting established now. They're 2 weeks into their meet. And actually, you know, it's a similar scenario on that side, Norm, where there is a big influx of horses from Alberta. There are more horses at Hastings right now than there have been for several years. Again, because of the uncertainty, even on the thoroughbred side of the business, where guys are moving in here, as well as some uncertainty out of Seattle. So there's a lot of horses up from there, too. So similar challenges, but similar opportunities, too.
Well, you're known in the business as one of the rising stars, if not stars, as far as the executive side of things, Chuck. And we're all confident that with people like you at the helm, not just at Fraser, but you know, speaking for the business in general, we're sure that you can weather this out and take the business forward and the sport forward.
I laugh at that, Norm. I appreciate that. We all know the challenges right now in racing and the systemic problems of the business model, but I can tell you that, you know, we still are very much passionate about the game and doing what we can in our little corner of the world. And believe me, I feel pretty seasoned and beat up at 37. I like the young guys like Chris Roberts, who's still under 30 and have got all the passion. So I'm happy to let those guys take a run at it versus old guys like me.
Well, believe me, kid, when you're 52, 37 is young, and you're doing a great job out there at Fraser Downs. Best of luck in the future.
Thanks, Norm.
All right, Chuck Keeling at Fraser Downs. We'll be back with our Can See Back feature on Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada, CA. Welcome back to Trot Radio, and it's our Can See Back feature. I don't know if you're as old as I am, but I actually do remember newsreels being shown at movie houses. That really dates me. Now, I wasn't born at the time this newsreel hit the movie houses of the day, but as part of our Can See Back feature and looking back at the way harness racing was presented back in the day, thought we'd go back to the 1955 Hambletonian, and this is what hit the newsreels and the movie houses in that time period.
Hambletonian Cup, emblem of victory and trotting's famed classic, the Hambletonian. The big field includes number one, Butch Hanover, and his stablemate, Scott Frost, 1A. 13,000 around at Goshen's Good Time Track as the field of fast-stepping three-year-olds gets away behind the pace car. This is the second heat. This is for keeps. Scott Frost, son of a previous Hambletonian winner, ran away with the first heat in fast time. And now the bay colt, driven by a Canadian reinsman, Joe O'Brien, is in sharp focus as he makes his bid to wrap it up for keeps. Watch him overtake and pass the pace setter, Chiles Hanover. Scott Frost on the inside heads for the finish line with Gallophone in second place, and that's where he stays. There's no denying the flashy colt from California, Scott Frost. not Frost. No relation, but he picks up plenty of Jack.
Ah, yes, the 55 Hambo. Just around the corner, actually, coming up in August. And a great summer of racing ahead. Good time to be a fan in this sport. That's about it for Trot Radio. Trot Radio is a presentation of Standardbred Canada, technical producer Chris Knowles, and is presented by Boer Communications. The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Standardbred Canada or its affiliated racetracks.